Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the years start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules and I hit the ground running. Didn't make sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets smart but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see. So what's wrong with taking the back streets? You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.
And all that glitters is gold.
Only shooting stars break the mold. It's a cool place, and they say it gets colder. You're bundled up now, wait till you get older. But the media men beg to differ. Judging by the hole in the satellite picture, the ice we skate is getting pretty thin. The water's getting warm, so you might as well swim. My world's on fire, how about yours? That's the way I like it, and I'll never get bored. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.
My name is Murray, I'm with my co-host Corey, and we are The Real Guys. This is Sign Radio, and this is The Real Show with two ears. The music you just heard was All Star by Smash Mouth from Shrek in 2001. What was that ear like, Corey?
Yeah, well, it's kind of hard to describe, but you had many, many, many layers that you had.
Many layers, multi-layered. They didn't stop coming, did they?
Corey? No, we didn't. We just didn't stop coming.
No, they didn't.
No.
We've got a packed show for today for this special broadcast, because every broadcast is special to us. So we are your number one platform on the airwaves and YouTube for pop culture, film and television discussion. As always, I'm accompanied by my co-host Corey. How are you doing today, Corey?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Good, good. So today we'll be giving you a review of Shrek, as promised. We talked about this last week, or a couple of weeks ago, when we were talking about Eddie Murphy in Coming to America, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We love a bit of Eddie Murphy around here.
I'm just going to turn this down. If you didn't know what that video was, ladies and gentlemen, that was Smash Mouth, But They Don't Stop Coming. So you can enjoy that on YouTube if you like, rotting your brain away to the sounds of They Don't Stop Coming. It's pitch corrected, so it sounds like the song and the music hits in, but that's all he's saying. Which is glorious, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, when we were talking about Coming to America,
yes.
we mentioned Shrek, we mentioned Eddie Murphy's performance in Shrek, so we thought we'd go back and sort of do it, give it a review.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, now you said that, all I've got in my head is Don't Stop Coming to America.
Oh, right, okay. Don't Stop Coming to America.
Yeah.
But we christened April, the month of April, award season April. We did it kind of on a whim, but we were going through Golden Globes and Oscars, and we thought, Shrek, we could review Shrek, but has Shrek won anything? It turns out Shrek has won a lot of things.
Yeah, it's...
Even just having an innocent glance at it on Google, it has won Academy Award for Best Animated Feature, Critics' Choice Awards for Best Animated Feature, People's Choice Awards for Favorite Movie 2002. These are all 2002, by the way. Mm. It won a BAFTA for Best Animated Screenplay. It got the People's Choice Awards for Favorite Comedian in a Motion Picture. That was won Freddie Murphy in 2002. It got the Kids Awards for Favorite Voice for an Animated Feature, which is, again, 2002, Freddie Murphy. And it won the Ursa Major Award for Best Anthropomorphic Motion Picture, which sounds particularly suspect. But yeah. He got that in 2001. So it is Shrek is an award-winning film, ladies and gentlemen. It's frankly amazing.
Big hair. It's a big hair. Mm-hmm.
So I'm willing for you to take the lead as we start off on this review. What would you like to go on with first? I've got sort of character story. We're mm-hmm. going to give this, we're going to put this in and out, ladies and gentlemen. So where should we begin?
I think we should begin at the start.
Right. Well, let's kick off the start. And it is kicked off with All Star by Smash Mouth. Which was initially a song that they actually weren't going to use. Did you know that?
It would have been disappointing if we didn't.
Well, it was actually heard in the opening credits, but it was only a placeholder for test screenings until a new song could be found. But test audiences actually loved it, and the producers kept it in. So,
of course they did.
And then also they liked Smash Mouth so much that they did the song at the end, I'm a Believer, so, which I think we played
We played the Monkees version.
We did play the Monkees version. We didn't play the Smash Mouth version. We played the original version. But I think we've done Smash Mouth proud in playing All Star at the start of this episode.
I'd hope so.
Mm. So let's go to the start of the film. Run me through some of your thoughts on the events at the beginning of Shrek, Corey. Why don't you?
Yeah, so it had been a while since I'd watched this, and I forgot because it does, you know, the classic film thing. You need to be introduced to your characters. So you start off nice book. Flipping through fairy tale story, you know, normal stuff, cool. And then it cuts to a how would you describe it? Imagine like an Australian outback, but you feel like the wooden shack.
Oh yeah.
You know, kind of Portaloo looking. And then out busts out this ogre, kicks the door down, and then essentially you just kind of see him going through his day to day life. He's having a wash in the bog.
Yeah, no, the credits are a work of art. Every time I see those credits, I'm like, oh.
Wipes dirt away and then Shrek appears.
Yeah.
The word Shrek.
I don't know whether you felt the same, but I got this very nostalgic feeling when I was watching Shrek. I'm 3-4 years old again. And I was born in 2000, Corey. I don't want to show my age. But...
I like it that you'd be 3 or 4. Well, it depends on when you watched it. If you were watching it when it came out.
I could have watched it at 1 year old and remembered it.
You might have done.
When the show came out. But no, I'm talking about like when I was, you know, 3 or 4 or 5, showing Shrek and watching it and, you know, hearing Smash Mouth and seeing the animation, which isn't too bad to say.
It's not. It's not.
Actually. It's not. It has what you call an art style. It is sort of CG 3D animation, but it still holds up pretty well, I'd say. Some parts do look a bit janky here and there. Like, I never really got down with sort of Donkey's walk cycle. And the bit with the dragon always felt a bit cheesy to me in animation. But still, I still think it holds up. Parts of it does hold up very well.
Yeah, it's a good intro. I'll give it that. I do enjoy the intro.
Mm. What do you think of the world of Shrek?
Oh, world of Shrek. You know what? I like the... I was going to actually go on to this a little bit as well. I like the fantasy elements of Shrek. How, like, you go through normal stuff, like the dragons you mentioned, the whole knight in shining armour thing, which is in this film at the start.
Mm-hmm.
The Puss in Boots and all these kind of like weird, you know, old fantasy tales, Snow White and the other princesses that are in this. I was going to ask you, because I've heard some stuff about this. Obviously, an ogre, mythical thing. Puss in Boots is a story.
Yeah.
Prince Charming makes sense. Robin Hood's a story. Donkey.
Right.
Where does he fit in with the whole fantasy thing?
Well, Shrek is actually, most people don't realise this, but Shrek is an adaptation
It is.
from a book, which is, I'm not sure whether it was called Shrek,
It was called
but
Shrek exclamation mark.
right, okay. It was written by a person called Steig.
Sure.
I don't have the exact information in front of me, but I think it was a it it well, I know it was originally a book,
It was, yeah.
and then the rights were purchased by Steven Spielberg of all people, who then went on to produce. I think he planned to produce a traditionally animated film, like a 2D animation, but it was brought to DreamWorks in 1994, and then it was developed into a 3D animation.
Yeah.
But I think it was supposed to be a motion capture film initially, but then there was a bit of a poor result to that. So it became a 3D CGI animated film. So
Yeah, because I'd heard, obviously I don't know if this is true or not, I don't know if it's confirmed, but I kind of like this theory. I heard that Donkey was a reference to Pinocchio, the Disney film. Because in the Pinocchio film, they all go to, like, I can't exactly remember where it is, but Pinocchio becomes a real boy and he goes somewhere and he meets all these other kids who are like smoking cigars and playing pool, which I completely forgot was in an old Disney film. And then they all get turned into donkeys and they can all talk. And I've heard it's
Right.
like a reference to that. I don't know if that's an actual fairy tale or if that's just a thing in Pinocchio, but I heard that Donkey was a reference to that, and he is supposed to be one of the humans that got turned into donkeys in Pinocchio, apparently.
Well, Pinocchio was in this film.
Yeah.
He has a
Which.
more expanded role. He has a more expanded role in the sequels,
Yeah.
but he is in the original. He is in the first Shrek. He's in the original.
He is. So, like, it'll make sense. I like the idea that he's another thing from Pinocchio.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, as far as world goes, I like it. I like all the fantasy stuff.
Do you mind sort of the? I don't wanna overuse the term pop culture, but do you mind sort of the pop culture spin that Shrek has? There's a bit where Princess Fiona does like a Matrix parody. Donkey goes on this weird riff about Tic Tacs and parfait. And do you mind that there's like sort of culturally significant things in this film?
No, in fact, Simon Cowell's in the bonus scenes of one of them.
Right, exactly.
And
Do you
I quite enjoy that. I like the little like X Factor thing they've got going on, where everyone sings a different song. Yeah, it's I don't mind it. I don't mind it.
It blew me by initially, just
Yeah.
because like, oh yeah, this magical donkey's going on a weird riff about Tic Tacs. And I
Yeah.
thought, hold on, this magical donkey's going on a weird riff about Tic Tacs. And I was like, why are they doing this sort of pop culture thing in a fantasy? Like, you wouldn't see Game of Thrones. You wouldn't see Jon Snow stopping to talk about parfait or talk about Disneyland or whatever they were talking, like Universal Studios or something like that. And it just seems really off. But I suppose since it's just an animated film
Yeah,
and it's
exactly.
and you can sort of let it go by. By the way, I also didn't mean to mention this, but this in hindsight, in 2021, this film is just chock-a-block with what the kids call memes. Lots of meme culture in this film. Of course, there's All
There's.
Star, which has turned into a massive trend. There's What are You Doing in My Swamp? I wrote these down. There's the What Are You Doing in My Swamp meme.
I
There's
love hearing it without the accent. It doesn't quite have the same twang.
I can try the accent if you like.
It's just bad Scottish. That's all it is.
Oh. He goes, "What are you doing in my swamp, donkey?
There you
Help!
go.
Get out of my swamp!" There's the "Oh, Merry Men" meme. I think there's another one at the end, but I forget what it is. Pretty much, Shrek himself is is a meme himself, you know. Yeah. Shrek's love, Shrek is life. Please don't look that up.
But... Also, the other thing to the viewers, if you listened to us and did not expect, what's the word? If you didn't think we would be doing impressions, you are wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Will we throw them out? I want to hear your Shrek by the end of the episode, all right?
Oh, it's fine. I'll be doing Shrek, Donkey, I've got all of them.
Right, nice. Donkey says he's making waffles.
He does.
Which is a fun thing. By the way, Donkey really annoyed me as a child, but I've sort of come round to him as an adult. As you know, in my current age, I'm like, you know what? I think Donkey's all right. Donkey's been a bad rap. He's some, there were actual times where I thought he was quite funny. And I was, you know, laughing at the donkey antic.
Yeah.
But especially like during the scene where they go to the castle of the villain, and it's like a bad sort of Disneyland or whatever. Which I thought they already did. I thought they did in the sequel with Far, Far Away. Well, I suppose they make Far, Far Away kind of like Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Which is the joke. And this castle, this Lord Farquaad's castle, is like... Lord Farquaad's castle is Disneyland.
Yeah, you mean the people with the Wipe Your Face song?
Yeah, you know, the smell the grass, shine your shoes, wash your face.
Yeah, that one.
Which I did write down. Which I did write down because I did laugh at that. And the castle joke when they first arrived there.
I mean, yeah.
It is kind of like a Disneyland castle type thing.
Yeah,
because and then they also I didn't realise that what its name was. I just thought it was Farquaad's castle, but it's called Duck Lock.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a name I've never actually heard. From when I first watched this, but I figured out that is what it's called.
Oh, fair enough.
Anyway, let's go back to the plot.
Yes.
Shrek is annoyed because all of the fantasy creatures have sort of set up in his swamp.
Yeah.
And he's hated by the villagers because he's an ogre, and they've all kicked him out. They've all kicked all of the fantasy creatures out because Lord Farquaad is trying to search for the princess. And you know, by the way, I love that magic mirror scene. That magic mirror scene where it's like Blind Date or whatever. That magic mirror scene is absolutely amazing. I always get a good laugh out of that.
Underrated character.
I don't know if the mirror appears in later films.
Yeah. Underrated character.
Mm. I think Lord Farquaad's an underrated character. Because I'm a fan of John Lithgow. And I knew he was in this film. And I just thought he did really well, to say.
Yeah. I mean, he does get... What's the word? I guess shadowed by Prince Charming, which is, I think, the one most people would think of.
Yeah, there's a lot of overshadowing characters in this film. So, the creatures are all in this swamp.
Yep.
And we get sort of cameo. I didn't realise this, but we get cameos from characters who appear in later films. Like, the wolf is in this film, but he doesn't have a line.
Yeah.
The wolf, you know, dressed as a Red Riding Grandma is in this film.
Yep.
The three pigs only get a couple of lines, but they're in the sequels. The three blind mice are again show up again. I like that. I like when they'll bring in characters for the sequels. So I didn't get much time in the first film.
Yeah.
And then Shrek goes to Lord Farquaad's castle with Donkey.
Yes.
Which is an incredibly fun scene. Who knew that Shrek was actually a professional wrestler? Because he gets to Lord Farquaad's castle, and all these knights are ready to fight in this tournament. And Shrek goes, I want to defend my swamp. You've sent all these creatures to my swamp, Lord Farquaad, and I want to fight them, you know. I want to fight your guys. But that's totally how he sounds.
That's perfect.
All my accents just shifted to Indian for some
reason. You did it better than Mike Myers ever could.
Yeah. What are you doing in my swamp, donkey? I can say donkey really well.
Well, that's the thing. It's like when you do an accent, you say a place, don't you? So you say a place of the accent
You have to summon the Scottish accent by saying Scotland.
Yes. So I feel like with Shrek, it's similar. You have to say donkey or swamp.
Donkey. Come on, I want to hear your donkey in Shrek.
We'll get there. It's fine. I've got quotes pulled up from Shrek.
Oh, donkey. Anyway, it's quite satisfying as well.
What, saying donkey?
Yeah, saying donkey. Donkey! Okay, so Farquaad makes Shrek fight all his dudes and all the knights, and they go into the wrestling ring, and, you know, he pulls off the double clothesline, he pulls off the frog splash, he does, you know, the tombstone power driver. He gives him the chair shot. It's quite, I think that was quite fun as well. It was fun. You know, Shrek can bump. Shrek takes a good few bumps.
He can certainly bump.
Yes, he can.
Shrek can bump.
Also, I didn't realise this, but I like how fast the plot goes. It goes incredibly quickly for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Because, like, right, Shrek's got a swamp, he's living peacefully, people try to interrupt him, but he's like, oh, I'm a scary ogre. The creatures arrive, he has to go, who sent the creatures? Oh, it's Lord Farquaad. He takes Donkey to Lord Farquaad's castle. Lord Farquaad's like, right, I'm looking for a wife, I'm looking for the princess, you got to go and save her, and I'll give you your swamp back. And it was, it moves at a very speedy pace, but you don't feel left behind at all.
Yeah, exactly.
And I like that. Now, we get to, I'll let you take over in a minute, but we get to the castle. Lord Farquaad says, you must go to the castle, Shrek, and just take my princess. And Shrek goes with Donkey.
Yeah.
And gets to the castle that the princess is in, the tallest tower or whatever, and the lava bridge.
Yes.
And then what do they do next?
Well, it's for Wobbly Bridge.
Mm-hmm. Classic Wobbly Bridge in a fantasy story.
is this where we get, is it when they're walking, I can't quite remember, is it when they're walking to the castle, is that where we get the whole Layers thing, is that where that pops in?
No, yeah, the Layers is where they go to Lord Farquaad's castle. No, they're not, they're walking away from Lord Farquaad's castle.
That's
they're
it.
Heading, the Proclaimers are starting yes. to play, and they're walking to the tower where Princess Fiona is. That's when we get the Layers discussion.
Yes, and the whole onions thing.
Onions have layers.
Onions,
like an ogre.
Onions do
but
have
cakes
layers.
Cakes also have layers.
Yes, and donkeys don't have layers, which is what we discover in that same
Donkeys
quote.
Don't have layers, but ogres have layers.
Ogres, yes, like onions, ogres have layers. Yeah, so they get to a castle where Fiona is. They go on the bridge, and a dragon appears. Mm-hmm. A female dragon appears, which is
yes.
important for later Shrek films.
I also, just a little fact about the dragon. I like the fact that it's not a wyvern. I get too annoyed about the fact that people think dragons are wyverns.
A wyverns, yeah.
When traditionally, wyvern is just a type of dragon.
Yeah.
A dragon has four legs and two wings.
Yes.
Wyverns have two legs and two wings. Right? I know it's like sort of the Game of Thrones-ification.
Yeah, I was going to mention that.
But yeah, exactly. But a wyvern is a wyvern, and dragons are dragons. We shouldn't, you know, start calling them the same thing because they're not the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like, why does everybody think that a pterodactyl is a dinosaur? A pterodactyl is a pterosaur, which is a completely different classification of animal altogether. It's a flying reptile. It's not a dinosaur.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, any seven-year-old will know that. Sorry to burst into my pterodactyl discussion. But I'm saying that wyverns are not dragons. They may look similar to dragons, but they're a completely different classification of fire-breathing reptile altogether. So I appreciate the fact that the Shrek dragon is a classic four legs, two wings on the back dragon and not a wyvern. Because I see too many wyverns these days. I see too many wyverns passing off as dragons.
Yes, so the dragon appears. The dragon corners Donkey, separates him off. But it's fine. Donkey's got his quick wits, and his...
He's got his quick wits, he's got his candle out.
Good. That's exactly what he needs when a dragon's near. And he has his good old sweet-talking voice.
Mm-hmm.
And he distracts the dragon, essentially. And then later, I can't remember if it's mentioned in the first one or if it's in the later films, essentially they get together. Which is an interesting couple choice.
Yes, indeed.
When it comes to animation films. But this gives Shrek time to find Fiona like it was supposed to do. Eventually, Shrek finds Fiona. They flee the castle. Donkey gets rescued. It's fine. And then we get the scene where... Because at this point, Fiona thinks Shrek's a human.
Yes.
She references it a few times.
Because you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. They reference a few times about a whole, my knight in shining armour, and she wants him to take his helmet off.
Fiona's just an idiot. She doesn't recognise this 7-foot-tall man who's obviously got green skin and a massive head, yeah, a massive, you know, body. It's just a man, just because he's wearing a helmet.
Yeah, and it's the whole, like, she wants him to take his helmet off, and Shrek doesn't want to do that. But he does. He removes his helmet, and...
He does. I thought, honestly, in the film, my first memory of the film, I thought they carried on this, oh, Shrek's going to pretend to be this knight for longer than they did. But no, she just has to press him a couple of times. Yeah. Like, right, I'm an ogre, you know? He folds much faster than I expected, or than I remembered.
Yeah. And this essentially just leads to Fiona refusing to go back to Duloc. It is Duloc, I've got it up now. Because she wants Farquaad to arrive himself.
Yeah.
Essentially. So Shrek picks her up. Against her will, just picks her up.
Mm-hmm.
And carries her himself. And they set up camp, essentially. They set up a nice bit of camp. Which, again, is this... This is where Donkey and Shrek have a little bit of an argument, a little bit of a fallout.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, their relationship gets tested as a friendship. Shrek doesn't quite want Donkey around at this point either.
Yeah.
Finds him a bit of a nuisance. But yeah, I mean, part of me kind of does wish that they kept the whole knight thing and the human thing going for a bit longer, but I guess it makes sense because obviously you get the whole thing of like, Shrek turns himself into Handsome Shrek. Human.
Shrek 2, isn't it?
Yeah. So it kind of links them together, I guess, with the whole thing. But, I mean, I don't know. It had to do it at some point, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't bother me that much. But yeah, they get to the camp. Fiona leaves. Just leaves. In the night. She wanders off. She goes away. Aeneas prompts Shrek to talk to Donkey about his frustrations and being rejected by others because of his appearance. So here's where we get the whole ogres, which is the main theme of this film, the whole like attractive thing of what is attractive. And he's an ogre, people don't like ogres, they think ogres are ugly, and etc, etc. And this is where this starts off. With Donkey talking to Shrek. Shrek talking to Donkey about how he's feared. And to be fair, if I saw a massive 7-foot, if I was a human and I was an ogre living somewhere, I think I'd be a little bit scared as well, to be honest.
Well, Shrek takes a lot of things at face value.
He does.
He goes, you know, everyone's scared of me because I'm a big, massive ogre. I'd like the dragon at some point to go, you know, everyone's scared of me because I'm a huge fire-breathing dragon. I wish people had, you know, loved me, but you know, I can also murder people very easily. And maybe Shrek should be taking that into account, perhaps. But, you know, it's not like, you know, Shrek plays up to the stereotype.
Yeah.
It's not like he approached those humans who came to him with fire and pitchforks at the start of the film in a cordial way. No, he terrified them more.
Scares them off.
Yeah, maybe if he goes, you know what? I know there's a lot of misconceptions about ogres, but really, deep down, we're quite a peaceful species. We just want to live ourselves. No, he pounces on them in the dark, breaks their flipping sticks apart or whatever, breaks their spears apart, and then he roars at them, and they all run away. That's not helping Shrek. You're not helping matters.
Could you imagine if, like, start a film when they've all got pitchforks, Shrek just turns around? He's like, oh, would you like some tea? Just sit down and have some tea. That's my Scottish impression. It's not really a Shrek impression.
Welcome to my swamp.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to sit down.
Yeah. Instead of get out my swamp, it's welcome to my swamp.
Yeah. Welcome to my swamp.
Grab a toadstool and sit down in my swamp.
Yeah.
But no, he roars. He does the roar, which comes in a later film.
Do the roar.
Which is another meme that somehow picked up from Shrek. I don't even get why.
Did it right. It's funny, isn't it? No, it's funny. We might get onto review every single Shrek film. And eventually we'll get to the one where that is a thing.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, he isn't helping his own situation. No. I mean,
did it right. Sorry, that's the last time I'm gonna do it for the rest of this review.
But yeah, so that all that kicks off. Yeah. And Shrek is confiding in Donkey about his his appearance and his feelings. And what happens next, Murray?
Okay, next, Fiona's been constantly, you know, hiding herself away.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I've got this horrible secret, you know. I've got this horrible secret that no one can find out about, okay? And I swear to you, there are several points in this film where they see her as this eventually. Spoilers: she's an ogre,
yes.
Right? She has this curse that turns into an ogre, and she won't be released of said curse until she finds True Love's kiss. That's the thing, right?
Yep.
Until she finds True Love's kiss, and she keeps being an ogre. But at several points before Donkey actually sees her as an ogre, they see her as an ogre several times, like when she's hiding behind that door in the cave or whatever, right? She goes to the cave and she gets the piece of tree. She's like, oh yeah, I'm going to hide in this cave and go to sleep. Good night. And she shuts the thing. But then she's peering out as an ogre. And I swear to you, there's a bit where Donkey turns around and sees her. But I don't think it was intentional.
Yeah.
Until they're in the barn and he sees her in the barn or the windmill. And then they talk about it and Shrek thinks like he's been betrayed.
Mm.
How could you betray me, Donkey? Talking to Fiona in the windmill. You're a horrible donkey. You're a nuisance to me. I want you to go away. I'm going to go away. I'm antisocial. You know, that kind of thing. That's what they're on with.
Yeah. You're pressured to get better by the minute.
Thank you. I know. I've been really working on it. Thank you for noticing.
It's been walking around your house. It's going, donkey. No, it's not quite right. Donkey.
Nope,
not quite got it. Donkey, that's the one.
Anyway, you go on. What have you got next?
Okay, so let me figure out where we are, because I'm not. You know, people also on the radio. We're not memory banks. We have things pulled up.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we need to jog our memory. Yeah.
I did watch it more than a week ago.
Yeah, exactly. It's been a while. We've been planning this episode for quite a bit, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she tells Donkey True Love's kiss will break the spell and change her to Love's true form. Shrek is about to confess his feelings to Fiona when he overhears his conversation, as she is calling herself an ugly beast. Now this is where the fallout happens, because Shrek thinks the ugly beast is Shrek.
Yes.
And he overhears this and he thinks they're talking about Shrek when we're not, they're talking about Fiona. She's talking about herself, essentially. And this causes this uproar. That's the only roar Shrek will do. Is uproar.
Yes. You won't do a down roar. No, he's not that kind of guy.
No, he won't. We also, actually, I think, forgot to mention the fact that Robin Hood has appeared at this point.
He has, and he's French.
Yeah.
Which is something that baffled me.
Yeah, considering, you know, he's supposed to be from Nottingham Forest, but all right.
He's just French. I don't know. Is there Nottingham in France? Probably not.
It might have been.
That's an interesting phenomenon, you know, when there's something that's called the same name, but they're in two separate countries. Like, you know, there's a Birmingham in America.
Yeah, I was going to say, it happens a lot with England and America.
It does. I think there's a Birmingham and there's a Manchester
as well. I'm trying to think of any others.
But they're the two most obvious ones I can think of.
Yeah.
But I know there's, I swear there's a London somewhere else as well, isn't there?
Probably. It wouldn't surprise me.
There's like
me.
A London in like... there's like an England. There's like an England.
Yeah.
Somewhere else in America. It's like an England, but it's like a city.
Yes.
Or a town or something. You know, England is my city.
Yes, that's a famous quote there from Murray.
Yes. So we'll move on, and we'll go to the point where Lord Farquaad. They've made their way from the forest. They've managed to defeat Robin Hood and his own merry men with, you know, their kung fu matrix karate skills.
I almost forget he's in this film every single time until he pops up.
What?
Robin Hood.
Oh, yeah, okay. So, they go near to Disneyland or wherever Lord Farquaad lives.
Duloc.
And then he arrives and he goes, right, I'm going to take Fiona and... I'm going to take Fiona and I'm going to leave you, Shrek, with your swamp. You go to your swamp and Donkey can just go away or whatever.
Yeah.
And off they go. They head off and he takes Fiona. Lord Farquaad takes Fiona away.
Yes.
So then Donkey goes up to Shrek and tells him the truth. And
yes.
Shrek's still upset about it. But Donkey goes, you know what, it was somebody else that I was talking about. And then and they end up reconciling.
Yeah, it's also good to mention at this point that Lord Farquaad and Fiona are set to get married at this point.
They are. Because Lord Farquaad wants to become king.
Yep.
So he has to marry a princess, which I don't think he knows how succession works. you have to marry a queen, don't you, and everything I've...
Well, yeah.
...to become king. Well, maybe, I don't know, maybe he wants to become a different sort of king.
Well, no, I think what his... I think what his goal is that he's hoping that Fiona's mum passes away or dad passes away and then he's next in line.
He does in the sequel, but that's when he becomes a...
Yes, yes. So I think he's, I'll be next in line if that happens.
Yeah, I suppose.
Even though Lord Farquaad looks way older. How old is he supposed to be? I don't even know, but he looks old.
No idea.
He looks old.
Oh. Well, we'll go on to, they return to, Lord Farquaad's castle, riding Dragon. His name is just Dragon. I appreciate that.
Yeah, hasn't got a name. Also doesn't speak, I don't think, at any point.
Well, apparently it doesn't speak, but some of the voice sounds were provided by Frank Welker, who voices Megatron in the original 1960s Transformers.
Fair enough.
Sorry, not 1960s, 1990s Transformers. G1, basically. Transformers Generation 1. Frank Welker did Megatron. He also does them in Transformers Prime
nice.
As well, which is a series that I'm most familiar with. Anywho, they return to Lord Farquaad's castle on the dragon, and Shrek bursts into the wedding, interrupting the wedding, and goes, I want to marry you, Princess Fiona. And then Fiona, it's sundown already,
yeah,
and she turns into the ogre before everybody, and... Shrek like then understands. And
yes.
Farquaad's like, oh, you've got to arrest them and just kill them and everything. And Donkey arrives on Dragon, and Dragon kills and eats Lord Farquaad.
Yes, yeah, Farquaad
is... I did not see that coming.
Yeah, Farquaad is gone at this point. It's...
I honestly thought, like, oh yeah, Farquaad gets like arrested or whatever.
Yeah.
Or Farquaad gets like thrown into the dungeon or whatever. But no, Farquaad is killed.
Yeah, he's gone. That's it, he's done.
Eaten. He's eaten. It's like Game of Thrones. He's eaten by the dragon in a hole.
And he does actually appear in other Shrek films after this.
No, but he's dead.
No, but he does make appearances.
Does he?
Yeah. I think he returns as like a ghost or a spirit. I'm not even making that up.
Oh, well, a ghost. Oh, yeah, sure. But he doesn't
come walking back in. Go, oh, remember me?
He goes, hello again, it's me, Lord Farquaad. I've returned. I came out the dragon. The dragon pooped me out. I'm back. No. He's a ghost or something. That makes
sense. Yeah, he returns as a ghost.
Oh. That makes sense. I'm not.
Wait.
Citation needed.
Sorry, I've just googled it to see if he does return as a ghost. In Shrek 4, it's such 4D, Farquaad returns as a ghost and has someone capture Fiona so he can kill her and make her his spirit queen. So he's still trying to get with Fiona at this point.
Oh dear, he can't stop. He's just... he's constantly after Fiona. He can't let it go, this guy.
Farquaad.
Farquaad.
What would we do without you?
What would we do without you, Farquaad?
I was googling his age, and I've gone down this rabbit hole. His partner apparently is 569 years old.
What? That can't be right.
Going to Google.
Google is that cannot be correct.
Maybe he's a vampire.
Oh. Maybe he is. I don't know. Maybe he's like a...
Well, apparently also according to Google, Shrek is 200 to 600 years old.
Oh, well, I could believe that, because ogres probably age differently to people.
It's Farquaad.
Lord Farquaad just looks like a man, and he's... And maybe he's like a dwarf or something.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
That's why he's so small. Maybe he's a dwarf.
Sense.
And maybe dwarfs age, that's why he's... whatever you said, 700 years old.
569.
Yeah, 569.
Apparently his birthday is 28th of January, 1451.
Oh. I've got something here that says his birthday's 15th of April.
What? There's some discretions going on here.
Citation needed. Citation needed. Anyway, Lord Frogman is defeated, is vanquished.
Yes.
And Fiona's like, oh, I'm an ogre now, I'm not beautiful, I'm, oh, you know. And then Shrek goes to her and it's like, you know, I'm going to love you, Fiona, or whatever it says.
Yeah.
And then they get married. So they get married in the swamp. They love each other. And they leave off for their honeymoon in the big, whatever that thing's called, in the carriage.
And yeah.
Donkey goes off with them, or doesn't he? I don't know if he does.
He does, but I don't think they realise he's there until
he... Oh, yeah, sure. He doesn't head off.
This is a scene where, like... It's for Am and Believer scene, and then it's, if I'm not mistaken, it's the ending to either this one or Shrek 2, where they're in the car and Donkey like pops his like mouth behind them.
I think that's Shrek 2. I think that's when they're going to her parents.
I think so, because I think I remember Funky Town playing in the background.
Yes, I think so. So let's talk about some of the performances in this film to round out. Cameron Diaz, Princess Fiona.
Yep.
We've mentioned John Lithgow. We've mentioned John Lithgow doing very good work as Lord Farquaad.
Yep.
Mike Myers is doing his best. is doing his best. Oh God, why have I suddenly forgot the name of the film? Austin Powers. Austin Powers 2. He's doing his best Austin Powers 2 voice for Shrek. Apparently, he tried a lot of different voices.
I heard about that.
Apparently, he tried his natural speaking voice for the film initially, when it was test screened. But then he tried sort of a country Canadian accent. And then after viewing a rough cut, he thought something was missing from his performance. Yeah. And he did everything in his Scottish, based on the voice that his mother would use when she read him bedtime stories as a child. So the original voice of Shrek can still be heard on the DVD, on the technical
of the DVD. I think I've heard that, and it doesn't quite sound right.
Yeah. And you know how much it cost to revoice? So, because it went up right up to the day, right up to close to the day of production.
Yeah.
Do you know how much of final production? Do you know how much it cost to remove Shrek's voice and add in Mike Myers' Scottish accent?
£100,000.
$4 million.
Oh.
So yeah, you were close. It took him 20 sessions.
Jeez.
It took him 20 voice sessions. In completion to do the entire revoice. And also it was his first performance in an animated film.
True.
So very interesting. And Eddie Murphy still credits this as one of his best works.
I mean, it's certainly one of his more iconic works.
Yeah.
I'll give him that.
And also he got a BAFTA nomination for this.
He did.
He got some, I wouldn't say critical acclaim, because he was around before then, but this is like one of his biggest roles and successes.
Yeah, especially in like his later, I say later career, but after 2000s, after his like 90s stuff, like Coming to America, that got big.
Yeah.
This is one of his later films that was massive at the time.
There's 36 unique locations in Shrek, which is more than any other computer animated film at that time. Cool story. Mike Myers was in New York City when he realised that the line, what are you doing in my swamp, had never been read in the film. So producer Jeffrey Katzenberg had to fly all the way to New York City and have Myers record the line in the back of a limousine.
Nice.
So...
I mean, yeah, I can picture. Imagine that, if you fly over to New York just to go in the back of... Just to get someone in the back of a limo and just ask all you got to get them to do. Oh, yeah, we missed one line. We missed one line. Yeah. Saying that, it's like the most iconic line from the film, so.
Yeah. and also the song when they get to Lord Farquaad's castle, the song that's sung by the little dolls is a parody, obviously, of Disney's It's a Small World.
Yes.
It has the same key and the same beat per minute as the Disney song.
So. Just less terrifying.
That's terrifying, yeah.
I've been on It's a Small World. It's an interesting ride. I'll give it that.
Oh, I've never been on It's a Small World. Is it as bad as they say?
I went on it in Paris. You know what? It wasn't that bad. I didn't mind it. It is literally just, like, I can't remember how long it went on for, but it's just a song for, like, ages. And you go around just on a boat around the world, essentially. It's somewhat interesting.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I recommend it if you ever venture to Disneyland Paris, or I don't know if Disney World has it. I would assume it does. But it wasn't that bad. Saying that, the Shrek version is maybe better.
No, perhaps.
Maybe better.
So another little detail with this. I thought it was quite funny that the fact about John Lithgow, who voices the dwarf Lord Farquaad, he's actually 6'4" in real life. So, yeah. And Lithgow felt that was the joke of his casting.
Fair enough.
I thought that was just a funny little detail in there. So, and another thing, you mentioned his Shrek sort of outhouse.
Yes.
Waterloo.
Yeah.
It's got the DreamWorks logo on the front.
I love that, like, DreamWorks thing. I think it's, like, one of my favourite, like, idents for, like, just film companies.
It's got that classic as well. It was nice to see that classic DreamWorks opening, you know, with the boy on the moon.
Yeah.
And the fishing rod and everything. It was good to see that, because I felt like that was the first time in a long time that I've seen the original intro in its full length.
Jokey
or funny in it, you know.
Yeah, because normally when I see it now, it's from what I remember seeing, it's similar. Like, I think Shark Tale did it, which is a great film. If you've not watched Shark Tale, I highly recommend
Shark Tale?
It. Yeah, that's the one.
You know what? Next film we're going to review, we'll review Shark Tale.
Shark Tale does it where it's a kid fishing, and when he throws a fishing line and it goes underwater,
yeah.
then it's a Shark
Will
Tale.
Smith. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one, the Will Smith fish, and Jack Black.
Mm. Oh, nice. Yeah, I think we mentioned it during the Jack Black episode.
Yeah, he plays Lenny.
Go back all the way and listen to that if you're bored enough. Right. But do we have a real rating for Shrek?
I have one. Do you have one?
I'll let you go first before we hit the weekly rec.
So I had something in mind when I first watched this, and I was like, if I say this, I wonder if I'll get, like, backlash. I wonder if, like, other people will think I'm too high, maybe too low. And then I went to go check the IMDb for this, and actually, weirdly, the IMDb is higher. I thought I'd be going too high. I thought I'd be, like, going above the user rating. I wasn't, actually. I was below. I'm giving it a 7.
You're going to give it a 7?
Yeah.
Right, okay, I was expecting like a 6 or a 5 or
something. I was thinking like a 6.5, right. And then I bumped it up to 7, just mainly also just because of, I feel like the animation was good, especially from 2001, I think it's good. I don't mind the story and the references and the form of comedy, I don't mind the accent, so I think it's okay. So I gave it a 7.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're of the same mind as we often are, Corey. My initial rating for this was 7.5.
Oh.
And then I was considering bumping it down to 7. Then I was considering bringing it back up to 8. And I was like, oh, I really like the original Shrek. The sequels, not so much.
Yeah.
Especially the third one, I'm not a fan of.
No.
But I think the first one really has something special. And I was, I didn't quite know. And I was looking back to the initial, when this film came out.
Yep.
It wasn't particularly loved by critics.
No.
But it was one of those things where the audience really stuck to it and the audience really enjoyed it. And I thought, well, as a discerning audience member, I'm by no means a critic. You know,
yes.
Call me Mark Kermode. Mark Kermode, I am not. I have decided to go with my base instincts and go to 7.5.
Okay. So, yeah, you're closer than the IMDb rating for us, which I believe is 7.8.
Is it?
Yeah, which is higher than I thought it would be.
7.75 on a lucky day.
I was like, oh, what would it be? Oh, it'll be... I thought it would be like a 6. I was like, okay, it'll be a 6 or like a 5.
Yeah.
But no, it's like 7.8. I can't tell if that's people just going on IMDb and going, yeah, 10. Because it's Shrek. It's going 10.
What, people pushing up the rating of Shrek on purpose?
It might be.
Well, maybe so. But let's go to our weekly rec, and it's Corey's weekly rec this week.
It's me.
After our review of Shrek. Is the weekly rec perhaps Shrek related or DreamWorks related?
There's a connection.
Okay, well, let me know. Hit me with it. What have you got?
Okay, so I'm bringing it back to before Shrek. I'm bringing it back to 1992.
Mm-hmm.
Or 93, if you want to watch the sequel. But I'll talk about the original one. This film, it will make a couple of things happen. It will make you laugh. It will make you cry. and most importantly, it will make you hurl. I am, of course, talking about the hit film Wayne's World.
Ah, yes.
Featuring
Myers affiliates.
Yes, that's where the connection comes in. There
right,
we go.
Okay, well, give me some more on Wayne's World.
So Wayne's World follows the lives of two people, Wayne Campbell and Garth Elgar. I say no names of these people. I know a lot about this film. I love this film. Mm-hmm. They have a TV show, an underground TV show. They film it themselves. They get their friends to film it, and it's called Wayne's World. Well, essentially, they just talk music, but that's not the main part of the show. The main part of the show is for trying to get their TV show signed. Essentially, they want someone to buy their show, and they meet this female called Cassandra, who takes over Wayne's life and becomes this love interest for Wayne. Garth does end up meeting someone as well at some point, but essentially, it's just here's a 90s comedy. Alice Cooper's in the second one or the first one? First one. Second one is Aerosmith. It's just wacky. It's this wacky comedy from the 90s, and I absolutely love it. If you're into, like, essentially 90s rock and that sort of thing, you'll somewhat enjoy it. That's the kind of audience it's going for. Meatloaf appears in one of the films as well, randomly.
Are you recommending both or just the first one?
I prefer the second one. But you don't have to see the first one to get the second one, but they carry on from each other. To be fair, I would give them both a similar rating anyway. So you know what? Go watch both of them. They're great.
Right. Well, do you have a real rating for the first one or for both?
Both. They're both about the same. I prefer the second one. Okay. You know what? Okay. Because I prefer the second one, I give it a 0.5 higher than the first one. I'll give the first one an 8, second one 8.5.
Okay, so that is your rating for the Wayne's World sort of duology?
Yes.
Okay. And to close us out with this episode, we are going to have... Well, shall we sort of tease what's happening next week?
We can
with this
do.
Song?
We can
I don't
do.
Know who's going to get it, but maybe we should explain what is happening next week, just so people will be prepared. The song we're playing is... Bad Reputation by Joan Jett.
Yes.
Which was actually in Shrek during the scene where he's in the wrestling ring and he's fighting the knights. I'm quite a fan of the song. I quite like the song. But the song was also... It's also somewhere else, isn't it? This 1980s sort of rock... punk rock classic.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Where else is it, Corey?
Well, if you're... if you're watching... a certain TV show, it is television, a couple of years ago. You might have heard it on a big stage, a grand stage, some might say.
Mm-hmm.
The grandest stage in all.
So we said that same time.
It did. I am, of course, talking about WrestleMania.
Yes.
Which, if you don't know what that is, it's essentially WWE. Just think The Rock, Hulk Hogan. But
yeah.
That's what we're on about.
Stone Cold, Steve Austin.
Exactly. Everyone who's currently not wrestling right now.
Yeah.
But yeah,
we're not talking about them. We're talking about the new stars coming in at WrestleMania. Next week, we'll be reviewing the first night of WrestleMania here on The Real Show, and the second night will be reviewed on our YouTube channel in sort of a similar 45-50 minute video. It's very exciting, don't you think? It's the first time we've sort of talked about pro wrestling on The Real Show. So
yeah, and also, you know, if you didn't know we had a YouTube channel, we have a YouTube channel.
We do. And also, just to say, Joan Jett's Bad Reputation is the theme song to one Ronda Rousey, UFC star who also showed up in on Raw a few years ago and actually main evented at WrestleMania 35.
There you go. In fact, she's one of the three first women to main event WrestleMania.
Yes, along with Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
Congratulations to them three. But here is Bad Reputation by Joan Jett from 1980 from Shrek. Goodbye, all.
Bye.